The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Let's welcome to our program here this morning to speak to us about a lot of what's going on in the construction sector and confronting contractors and everybody else. President of the Joint Consultative Council for the Construction Industry, that's Mr. Fazir Khan. Mr. Khan, good morning to you and welcome to our program.
Good morning, sir.
It's nice to have you with us here this morning. Our interview comes at a time when there is heightened focus on what's going on with contractors and some of the crime that's taking place perpetrated against contractors. On Friday, Guardian Media did an expose about a contractor facing extortion to the tune of $30,000, but his story is not unique. We've been told that there are business people in Chaguanas who've been targeted on the very same thing, that if they don't pay gangs or criminals, they go kill them. We've seen a number of business people in Chaguanas being murdered, and the story was that they refused to pay. We've seen business people pack up shop and leave. Let's begin by you giving us an idea. The Joint Consultative Council for the Construction Industry will deal with a number of contractors, a number of business people, and I'm positive that you would have some kind of report for us this morning. What's going on with our contractors and gangs?
Yeah, good morning again, and thanks for having me on. We have noticed at the JCC that there has been an alarming increase in crime and across the country and across construction projects, be it private projects or government projects. And over the last 2 years, the reported incidents have surged more so in Trinidad than in Tobago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what are the nature of these reports that you're talking about?
Directly from sites and from contractors, you have incidents where criminal gangs would come on site and seek to extort money for protection from contractors. When they come on site, basically they traumatize everybody. Now, we represent not only contractors, we represent engineers, architects, planners, and the contractors.
Mm-hmm.
On a construction site, you definitely would have contractors and contractors representatives, but you would also have supervising consultants and their representatives. On some sites, you would have architects. Hardly there would be planners. The planners are in the pre-construction phase. But so it's not limited. The effect of this criminality is not limited to the impact on the contractors, but everyone who is attached to a site. Contractors, the criminal gangs see construction sites as easy target and vulnerable, especially remote sites. And these remote sites are coming under increased pressure from criminal gangs. And I'm not saying that, for example, the incident that was widely reported in the East West Corridor, that has been going on for years. And there can be more immediate action and reaction from the police who are close by. We do have construction sites all over Trinidad and Tobago in terms of various infrastructure developments and public projects like bridges and those sort of work. So one can have pretty isolated areas where you have sites that criminals see as vulnerable.
Do you have statistics in relation to, like, okay, let's just take this year, for example, because we all know this has been going on for years, and that in itself is an indictment. But for this year, or on average, how many of these reports do you have? Have you been collating that kind of data?
We are actively seeking to work with the Contractors Association to collate that data so we could have statistics. But I would say to you and to the public, that this is the responsibility of the Ministry of National Security. And I'm certain that they have many reports on all the sites that we are aware of. As soon as an incident happens, especially on any government site, the contractor is mandated to report it to the police. So we are aware that reports are made on a daily basis from various sites to the police, and the police would have that that information.
So is it one gang tackling everybody, or is it various gangs? Is it all the gangs, or what's the situation?
Again, we are engineers, architects, contractors, security. Unfortunately, this is part of the problem. Security should not be our problem, and understanding the needs for all of these pushbacks should not be. We should be living in a normal society where minor security arrangements have to be made, but to take action in contracts to protect life and limb, that is out of hand. And it is asking professionals who are not so qualified to do something about a speciality that is outside our experience and expertise.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You're definitely out of your element in this one. And at a job site, a construction site, you would expect that the major problem you have to deal with is somebody coming to try and cart away some of your material overnight. So you need a watchman or some kind of minuscule security. But that's not the situation. What we have, the reports are that these gangs moving in and telling people, listen, if you don't pay me $30, $40, $50, $100 or however much, $1,000, we're coming back. And when we come back, we could deal with everybody. So you said that this has been going on for years. What has been the response from the authorities?
Well, again, I saw in the media today that Minister Hines has indicated that, for instance, what we recommended, Army posts, is already, the Army is already being used to assist the police. And we understand that as well. But what has been the effect, and how much of the capacity of the Army is being used to fight crime in Trinidad and Tobago? The Army has, according to their website, 5 mandates. And one can easily pick out 2 of them, including the rights to protect citizens. And one can look at rearranging one's capacity in order to deal with the largest problem at hand. Now again, I am not a security professional, but I am a practicing engineer and project management professional. So we have to deal with capacity issues because there is limited resource to deal with anything. So I'm just taking a page from the book that we play by, and I'm saying that sort of thought is required in order to deal with what is a critical problem in a terrible crisis.
Now, do you have information about contractors who are paying this tax?
Definitely, we have information. The way we would tend to operate is that all of this has to go to the police, because again, we are not security professionals. We should just be doing what is the minimum security on a site in a reasonable way to protect the interests of the contractor, not having to deal with the extortion that is rampant right now.
Do we have instances where contractors have packed up shop and left the country as a result of this?
I am not aware of specific instances of that.
So you've said, and we've been told, that this has been going on for a long period of time. And you've said that all of these reports go to the police. But for whatever reason, it does not seem as though the perpetrators are being brought to justice. So how does a situation exist where you have criminals who've been clearly identified one way or the other, carrying out this extortion and not being brought to justice. And now you have the impact direct on contractors. Fear for their safety, fear for everybody, all the personnel on site and all that kind of thing. What has this done to cost when it comes to construction?
Yeah, so costs have been increasing for security from many, many years ago, I think since in the 1970s, when we had oil money and we had the construction boom. As the minister himself said, that gangs seem to think that they need to get piece of the action. But the way they go about that is with criminal intent and criminal practice. So over the years, a lot of contractors have understood that they need to deal with, say, community leaders. And again, community leaders is a euphemism in my book for gang leaders. But this has been made a normal term due to successive administrations using the word community leaders in more palatable ways. Now, I'm certain they have good community leaders, but we all understand when we talk about a contractor going into a village for the first time and he has to deal with the community leader, we all understand what that euphemism means. And he is now forced to do a couple different things. One would be, say, to hire people who have no skill or inclination to work, and he has to take that on as a cost, but so you have to pay. And some contractors over the years have built that into their operations and costing in a sense, because they see no other way out. So where that has gone now is there is so much competition from the various gangs. We have had instances where we have sites that you could actually see the repercussions of the competition by turf wars that's going on, where different sets of people are coming on the site and demanding money. Now, you could imagine a construction site where people get up in the morning and go to work to do construction work, project management work, quality control work, and all of a sudden you have armed men breaking into your site office and demanding money and waving guns and threatening your life and limb. And then on top of all of that, you might have another gang coming a week after. And we have actually seen where, you know, sometimes these gang wars, or turf wars I should say, turn out to be violent, where the people would be shot during work hours, after work hours, rival gangs. But you now have to deal with collateral damage. And you now have to deal with psychological trauma. The army and the police, they are trained to deal with high risk and high security issues. But people in the construction industry, when we put on our hard hat and go to work, we deal with engineering problems for the benefit of civil society, and we need to be protected from the mayhem that is being perpetrated by out-of-control criminal gangs.
Yeah. You know, the story that ran on Friday is not the first one. And on social media, we saw many instances where persons, shopkeepers, and this one and that one, are at the mercy of these gangs who come and extort money from them for in one way or the other. But what you've done this morning is you've broadened the scope and explained to people that it's not just the contractor who's in trouble. It's everybody now who's going to that site. They become a part of the entire organization and a potential victim. Because you have these gangs who have no moral scruples whatsoever. And in order to force the hand of a contractor, they'd be willing to do whatever it is to make that happen. And it creates, as you've outlined to us, a really, really trying situation and a circumstance. We need to take a couple messages, but when we get back, I want to get some of the proposals that have been put forward to try to deal with the problem. I'm going to take some of your calls as well. For those of you listening in, 627-3223, 625-2257. Our special guest this morning, President of the Joint Consultative Council for the Construction Industry, Fazir Khan. Stay with us. Welcome back. 25 minutes before 8. With us this morning, our special guest, President of the Joint Consultative Council for the Construction Industry, Fazir Khan. And we are talking about some of the crime affecting the construction industry. If you'd like to join our conversation, 627-3223, 625-2257. And your WhatsApp messages, of course, send those to 306-1065. Before we went to the break, I was suggesting that we should find out from you and your organization, what are some of the proposals that have been put forward? Just, I think we have a call. Let's take this call first before we get back into that. Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning to you.
Morning to you, guest. I want to ask your guest, how many, Finzan just said that people are being extorted. How many people have been held in connection with these crimes? And are the police, I know the answer already, you know, but I just want to hear from you about, are the police competent or encouraging or helpful in dealing with these matters? I'll listen to it.
Thank you for your call. Sit down.
Yeah, so from my understanding, reports are made and they are taken. We generally have had very little feedback directly with respect to what has happened post the traumatic event, post the criminal event on any one website.
Mm.
Again, we may be interested parties, but it is a matter for the police once the report is made. Does the crime decrease at that site? Once the police are involved, we see an abatement of activity, but criminal gangs rove and they just move to another because construction sites, especially the remote ones, are easy targets. And I also want to say, Satish, that to take up your point about the effect that you reinforced, that the effect that it has, not just on contractors, but everybody else on the site. You know, now we in engineering, we have more than 50% of the graduates are females.
Mm.
So we now have a large percentage of females on the site at all the front levels, from project managers to engineers to workers. We are therefore subjecting our female sisters, mothers, whoever, to this risk of a gun-toting criminal in a locked site office. And I hope you see the point I'm making here. Extremely terrible and uncomfortable for anybody in the industry who is responsible for these people.
Yeah, let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Morning, calling from Pinal. This is just a particular case of a problem that we have throughout Trinidad and Tobago, where people feel they can just walk up to you and take your stuff, whether it's home invasions or taxing of stores and hardwares and whatnot. They just feel that you have to take the thing that you are working for, you have worked for all these years, you know, and hand it over. So it is a problem that has to be dealt with at a different level. It is not just a construction industry problem. The construction industry will have peculiar circumstances and, you know, remote locations and small offices in places where you may not find police roaming, going around regularly. But the problem is actually everywhere in its various manifestations. So it has to be tackled, you know, holistically. And I think that, well, there's all kinds of suggestions, but it's not just in the construction industry. That's the point I'm making. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I understand the point that you're saying, that these gangs, just like how you have various arms of your organization, these gangs tackle various elements of society, and we see it. where they go into business places, they go into a hardware, a grocery, a shop, or whatever else, and telling people the very same thing. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, pleasant morning, Satish, and pleasant morning to your guest. But Satish, you know, that is one side of the story. Right? When they come with a security contingent in the community to do the project, okay, I pass you this on the 5th of May. Right? A police officer was on the site. Well, they was doing the drain on the road, on Tasso Road by Park Arima. Right? So the officer asked me for a little walk. So I told him, yeah, and then about 3/4 hour. But when I checked what I had to do, I told him, I said, well, I can't take the book again. Okay? This man just started to curse me and abuse me and tell me your effing so-and-so, your mother so-and-so, and things so-and-so thing. So I was amazed. So when they come in with this construction and these officers, come with a little discipline and a little thing, because the officer even banned me from reaching to my home because he tell me he don't want to see me again on Castle Road. So how will I reach to my dwelling property?
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your call. All right. But that's an isolated incident with an officer, and probably. I understand your point. You're right, but we're talking about a much broader problem here. Hello, good morning.
Morning, sir. I applied anybody that wanted to get work from the government has to go through the OPR. You know, the register for the OPR is a real lengthy, time-consuming process. And if the website wasn't done properly, so it's very confusing. And we had to go through all of that to register with it, to get government services. All these bandits and them getting contracts, do they have a company, a sole trader? All them get, all, I can understand for the life of me. Or is it direct contact from the minister they get in, get this boy a contract here? And, you know, I want to ask the gentleman if he thinks that the government should allow citizens, especially ones with businesses, ability to access legal firearms more easily, not to pack it up in your house, but to carry it once you pass psychological tests and you have the proper requisite training. If he will support that. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call, Mr. Khan. Your responses to some of these issues. Let's start with the last one first. Arming contractors and their staff, is that one solution?
Look, that is always a dangerous thing. And I would stay out of that debate, for want of a better word, because it has to be a personal decision in terms of whether one wants to arm oneself and then go through a process before you could actually arm oneself. So, but to go back to the previous speaker or listener's question about the use of additional resources, this is really a wider problem. And of course, we in the industry understand that it is a wider problem, but I mean, I come here today as the president of GCC in order to highlight the problem in the construction industry, but we are very, very aware, because we, apart from being in the construction industry, we are all part citizens of Trinidad and Tobago. But I'm not here to speak as just a general citizen of Trinidad and Tobago. I'm here to speak on behalf of the industry. And the industry is very important to the economic activity of Trinidad and Tobago. I am not saying that the needs of the industry is greater than the needs of the individual. Certainly, crime and criminal activity on the increase trumps all of that. And this needs to be addressed by the Minister of National Security, not any of the other ministers. In fact, the other ministers would see the repercussions of this in terms of their jobs being slowed down because sites stop working when this happens, and until things become normal again after police reports are made, and there are increased costs because people have to pay for police, etc. And to police don't come on your side for free. If we instruct contractors on a government project, for instance, to have pay precepted officers, they would get a quotation from the police service, and then that is not just about one policeman, it's about who. So there is a cost to that adds up to the contract. Now it is necessarily in most contracts that cost is passed on to the employer. If the employer is the government, it certainly is passed on to the employer. So that's why we say that costs have increased. But I want to make it clear that while the cost may be a significant and real concern, because it just has to be in terms of how we manage money and account for money within contracts, we cannot place a value on the lives at stake or the physical and mental trauma experienced by people that are simply trying to carry out their job.
Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, Satish. Good morning to your guests. It seems as though the candle is costing more than the funeral, because Trinidad and Tobago seems to have been cut up into little pieces, the same way that you cut up a pizza and the criminal enterprise standing over the pizza and this slice is for me, eh? And that I want the biggest slice. And it seems as though Trinidad and Tobago has been cut up into slices, and legitimate businessmen like your guest there and his members are not able to work freely. And there are certain areas that they can work in, and there are certain areas that they can't work in. Satish, I noticed something in your newscast about the contractor, that there was a deal that the person was trying to make to get the members of his gang to get jobs on the job site. I don't know what significance that is, but Satish, you can't go on like that. I can't be a legitimate contractor, and I go to work in a certain area, and I can't work unless I get jobs for certain members of the criminal enterprise in that area. It gets very confusing.
You see,
question to your guests is, do you feel as though your members, and based on the plight of your members, that access to weapons, lethal or non-lethal, is being treated by the authorities as a priority? I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call, Mr. Khan.
Yeah, I think I answered that one already. Let's take what the listener is asking, right? First of all, everybody seems to agree that the problem of crime is pervasive in the country. It is certainly not just limited to construction sites, etc. And once we say that, then the next thing is, who is responsible for dealing with that? The Minister of National Security. So now the Minister of National Security has been on record several times saying that they need help in order to deal with the with making evidential help, etc., in order to bring people to bring this thing to a head. So, for instance, money has been spent. There is no construction site now in Trinidad and Tobago, large construction or medium construction site, that doesn't have security cameras. In fact, it is mandated, written into the contract in several government contracts. And contractors on any large project, whether it's private or not, see cameras and audio devices as a way to help protect themselves in the long run, because cameras do not protect you from an ambush by a potential extortionist, for instance. What it does, it provides evidential evidence that the contractor can now take after the fact, after everybody is traumatized, after somebody is beaten, after somebody is killed, to the police, and the police will act on it. I would stay away from, it is not our responsibility to arm ourselves. And because that comes with a whole different set of responsibilities. So we are helping the Ministry of National Security through our own costs in various contracts by having cameras and so forth to help the police to do their job. So the ball is essentially and seriously in their court.
627-322-3625-2257. Just about 10 minutes before the top of the hour, before 8. And at 8, of course, we have news for your special guest this morning. Speaking about some of the challenges facing the construction sector is President of the Joint Consultative Council for the Construction Industry, Fazir Khan. What are some of the proposals? You may have mentioned one or two in the discussion that we've had thus far. But as an organization, I'm sure that you would have had discussions with various stakeholders and you all would have come up with some suggestions that you think, that your organizations think can help. What are some of those?
Yeah, again, Satish, to be repetitive, I will preface what I'm going to say by saying that this is the responsibility of the Ministry of National Security. We in our industry can come up with a million proposals or any one proposal or two, but we are not security experts. And that would be another cost to say bringing security experts to analyze a situation that the police and the Ministry of National Security generally, let's say, have all the information for. And it is certainly, if crime could be reduced in the country, crime would be reduced on construction sites. So I hope you see the point I'm taking there.
I understand the point that you're making. If the police treat with crime generally, there'll be less need or rather less of these incidents to have to deal with. But that being said, I'm sure that you all would have, because it pertains to your industry, you must have some suggestions.
Yes. So we have made a couple suggestions. One would be to, you see, one would have to make us any suggestion by looking and seeing what is the problem, and in terms of our capacity, for instance, right? So we have stated quite clearly that we really need as a country to think creatively beyond the post-colonial systems to find and implement solutions to the pervasive criminality threatening potential anarchy. And where we go from there is how we drill down into the details of that, is that if we have an army and we have police and we have different types of problems, then we need to have more people in the army, for instance, army posts stationed at major construction sites. And this is something that could be worked out. Now, I understand that the Minister of National Security has said that this is already being done, but I am not aware of many army posts in many sites. So we are talking about what is the degree of the implementation here. As a country, we tend to fall down. We talk a lot, but we fail to implement. We have a lot of laws, and we fail to implement. Your previous speaker spoke about how do we stop criminal gangs, for instance, from getting government contracts? Well, we have a new law called the procurement legislation. And whereas he would have complained about how difficult it is to register, it may be so for a purpose, because one has to have a lot of papers in order to register to get a government contract, and so it should be. But that said, once you register once, you are registered in the system for forever until there's some other situation that happens. And the other thing that has been done would be on sites that we have identified as hotspot sites or remote sites, there is no choice but to bring police onto the site as a deterrent effect. But that is as much as we can say. The bigger picture is that we are just highlighting the wider issue of crime for the people who are responsible to deal with it.
Okay. Let's take another call. All right, puts it out. 627-3223-625-2257. Hello, good morning.
Morning again, Satish. From Jabona. Satish, I want to ask you again. The police service in this country, right? They, to me, they're incompetent. Look at the crime rates alone. and you will see that. You mentioned that you are not responsible for your security. I disagree with that. You are responsible for it at a certain point.
Hello?
The computer, you must be alert and provide security for your own self. So you have to be taking this sit down and wait approach. I go wait until the boy and then come and thing me, and then I go by the police and make the report. And then the cycle go. I know you said your members don't want any trouble. But what you prefer? You prefer trouble or you prefer loss of life? Because I know the system in this country with regard to legal firearms, right? It's not a pleasant one, because it's a mountain of paperwork and red tape you have to go through. But to me, having a firearm is the most, how to put it, is the ultimate way that you could protect yourself, especially when you have an incompetent security apparatus in this country.
Mm. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your call. Mr. Khan, we got some messages to take us up to the top, to news. And then on the other side of it, we'll continue our discussion, take some more calls, and a couple other things. For those of you who are now joining us, will probably join the conversation late, our special guest here this morning, President of the Joint Consultative Council for the Construction Industry, Fazir Khan. News after these messages. Stay with us.
This is the Morning Rumble with Satish Mahabir.
Four minutes after eight to the final hour of our show here this morning. 627-3223, 625-2257. And of course, your WhatsApp messages, send those to 306-1065. A special guest this morning, President of the Joint Consultative Council for the Construction Industry, Fazir Khan. So you've said repeatedly this morning that, listen, crime fighting is the police job, the protective services, and they need to get their act together. And if they do get their act together, there's going to be the trickle-down benefits to the construction sector and to many of the other sectors that are reeling from crime at this point in time. This matter has been ongoing for a long period of time, number of years, but it came to the fore because of some of the reports that we are seeing. Are there discussions in train? Are there meetings that are going to be held, meetings taking place right now within the stakeholders to discuss this issue?
Yes, there are several meetings at all different levels that involve employers, especially at the government level, in order to treat with the problem at various major sites throughout Trinidad and Tobago. But I really would like to, if you allow me, to deal with the questions, the last set of questions,
sure,
which seems to want to bring the debate about issuing firearms into the realm of what we're discussing here this morning. I would simply like to state that When you and everyone else ask questions, what is the JCC recommending? And I respond accordingly that, well, you know, we are not security professionals. And the knee-jerk reaction could be from people, well, are you going to sit down there and let whatever happen and then report it? Knee-jerk reactions, by definition, are emotional responses that are not well thought out. And which is why we only know enough to know to stay away from knee-jerk reactions and let the professionals do their jobs. The same way a security professional cannot come on my site and tell me how to project manage or the quality control of my concrete, I really need to stay away from dealing, me and professionals like myself need to stay away from dealing with the hardcore security issues. You've made the statement, Satish, that very... Yes, security is something so that we need on your site, and what is run of the mill, it's all over the world where you don't want people coming on your site arbitrarily and stealing a little bit of materials or just making a nuisance of themselves, right? It detracts from what we are doing, which is a project is somewhere where you're trying to do a certain amount of work in a certain time for a certain cost. Now, What is the outlook of arming people on the site? Is it I'm having a picture here with you get up in the morning, you put on your hard hat, your security vest, your security boots, and strap on a gun and go to work. And if that's the case, who do we give the gun to? Everybody from the laborer tying moving materials to the steel bender to the concrete man to the formwork person, the engineer, the supervisor, the project manager. So one would see how I don't want to use the word ridiculous, but we have to speak openly and we have to stay away from emotional reactions and understand when we are competent to come up with a solution and when it is outside the realm of our expertise. Mm-hmm. And if we go into to have these discussions that you're asking about with relevant stakeholders at a higher level who control our lives, we better be going in there from the point of reason and the point of understanding what are our own limitations.
Right. I take your point. I mean, I understand what you're saying. And logistically, you've explained it quite well. A construction site is not five people mixing a little bit of mortar. It could be hundreds of people sometimes, depending on how large the construction site is. And I understand logistically how difficult it would be to arm people. But you're right, it's the go-to response in some instances because people see it as probably fight fire with fire. You already want to turn the place into a wild, wild west kind of scenario. But I understand the frustrations that someone in such a situation might face. Let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Satish. Good morning, your guests. Good morning, Trantabigo. It's not an idea of arming everybody on a site. The main people, when they go on a site in terms of construction, they look for the boss. Typically, in small contractors, the boss is the one that's always been on the site at most time. Large construction site. Sorry?
Large
construction sites, they don't go after anybody on large construction sites. Generally, it's the smaller construction site because they want to hold somebody to ransom in terms of getting benefits out of it. Now, what go on in large construction sites, they have security to the site because they are afforded that from the contents of the contract. Now, small contractors have to face that burden if they want to have that kind of reprieve on a site. Now, it's not a matter you're arming everybody. Legitimate contractors are the ones, you know, small contractors are the ones who request the use of firearm or have firearms license. But the situation is that they're not really adhering to it, and that is where one of the problems come in, actually. So that is how those really go. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call. Isaac, we've had a thorough discussion this morning. You've covered several points repeatedly in some instances. But as we wrap up our discussion here this morning, is your organization at all satisfied with the response of the police and the other authorities to the many reports that have been made into the situation overall?
Right, Satish. So what I'll say is I'm here today because the situation, as far as we are concerned, our sense of the situation is that it is getting worse. Our sense is that crime is getting worse, and by extension, criminal activity impacting on construction sites is getting worse. Whether or not these various arms of the security service have high efficacy in doing their job, that there is for someone else. We have taken the steps that we can take to have cameras, make reports, provide evidential data so that criminals can be found and they can be prosecuted. This is a small step in the wider problem. The construction industry is doing what it can by having this dialogue, exposing this problem, and even saying very plainly what we think can be done. The the fact that I am here speaking today, and the fact that your listeners are quite engaged, and the fact that this thing is now all over the various print and other media, means that it needs urgent attention, and it needs attention and outside the box thinking, critical thinking about how we're not going to be able to increase the police force tomorrow, but we may have some capacity in other areas. How do we utilize that capacity in order to create an impact on the criminal activity that is going on, to push that activity downward?
Mr. Khan, I want to thank you for being with us here this morning. I'm sure that we will have further discussions, because it's a matter that it does not seem as though we're going to have a solution anytime soon, for whatever reason. And I'm sure that as we go along to get another update from you to find out the progress that's been made and so on, we'll have another discussion at a time to be determined. But I want to thank you for being with us here this morning and for giving us an insight into how wide the problem really is, and some of the issues that confronts some of your members. Thank you once again for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Satish.
That of course, ladies and gentlemen, Fazir Khan, President of the Joint Consultative Council for the Construction Industry. An insight into how it's impacting on the construction industry.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.